All right, we're live from Hot Mama's Kitchen Bar out at the Oakway Center. What we usually do at this point and what we're going to continue to do right now is the way we wrap Crunch Time is a Monday, something called the Richter Scale.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Uncle Nick.
Ah, demoted again. Unbelievable. Welcome to the Richter Scale. It has been a long time since Steve has been on the air, which means we have a lot to go over and recover from all the days that you were gone. So we're going to go through day by day since your last show last Tuesday. Begin with Wednesday, obviously. Purdue this year was mostly Purdue rather than Purdon't because of that season that Jeff Brohm had. It was led to him being a candidate to take over at Louisville, but it was confirmed last Wednesday that Brohm would be staying in West Lafayette. Brohm is 13-12 in his 2 years with Purdue. How big of an impact does this have on Purdue keeping their head coach?
If you were going to ask what kind of an impact I had on me, we were going to get the rare zero. But considering that they've been Purdue for a while, and they actually had the upset over Ohio State and ended up in a bowl game, that's big. That's a nine for a school like that.
On Thursday, the Saints and Cowboys matched up on Thursday Night Football, and the Cowboys' defense, led by former Boise City Bronco Jake Vander Esch, held the prolific Saints offense to 10 points and 176 total yards to get the Cowboys their fourth straight win. How serious of a contender are the Cowboys?
Instead of a number, could I just say annoyingly so? Because right now, with Washington's quarterback situation, the Giants are the Giants. Philly obviously has a lot of issues on both sides of the ball. As far as being a contender for the title, not so much, but a contender to get in the playoffs and win the East, I'm going to go with, do I need to combine those two?
Sure. Average amount.
All right, so as far as a contender to win the NFC, I give them a 9 to be a contender to win the East. But as far as to make a big move, maybe a 6.5.
That's very fair. On Friday, TMZ turned the NFL onto its head thanks to its magical way, which is cold hard cash, of acquiring a video of now former Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt assaulting a woman in the hallway of a hotel in Cleveland. The NFL then said that their, quote, investigation, they never saw the film nor talked to Hunt about the incident itself. Some investigation, that is. The NFL and players in the NFL continue to have problems with domestic violence and abuse. How big of an impact has this had on the NFL, and how big of an impact will it have?
The problem is, like you said, they launched what they call an investigation without interviewing the perpetrator, the victim, or viewing the evidence. That's not an investigation. That's a sweep under the rug. And like somebody mentioned on one of our earlier shows on CBS Sports Radio, what if he was not being held back by someone else? What would he have done to that poor woman? So whether it is or it isn't, this has to be a 10. Stuff like this needs to be a stop the presses and be addressed. This has to be a 10.
Absolutely. Saturday and into today as well, the Mariners started making trades, working towards truly not fielding a team that's going to compete or contend in 2019. Seattle sent Robinson Cano and All-Star reliever of the year Edwin Diaz to the Mets for Jay Bruce and four prospects. They follow that up today by trading their other All-Star Gene Segura to the Phillies for Carlos Santana and another Phillies prospect as well. How do you rate the return Seattle is getting on their fire sale?
Well, the problem is they lost their best hitter in Cano with the trade to the I can't think of the name of the dude, the lefty they traded to the Yankees.
James Paxton.
So, yeah, Paxton gone. So their closer, in essence, was their best pitcher. And in losing Segura, their shortstop, that might have been their most important player. So what they're getting in return is okay, but man, they're giving up a lot. And they're just prospects. So I'm going to split the difference here. I'm saying until further notice, it's 50-50. They're getting back a 5.
On Sunday, the big event was the college football playoffs final rankings. All three undefeated teams, Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame are your top three, with Oklahoma taking the fourth spot over Ohio State and Georgia. Many wanted two-loss Georgia to stay at four, despite losing it to Bama, to see them once again lose to Bama in 3 weeks' time, but the committee went with a conference champion instead. Your semifinals are Alabama versus Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl and Clemson versus Notre Dame in Jerry's World. How do you rate these semifinal games?
Well, one is a 10, Clemson and Notre Dame. Oklahoma, Alabama, because of Kyle Murray, could be a shootout where they score 40 points and lose by 40. So if I have to do a combo, a 7 and a 10 equals an 8.5.
Fair enough. Last one here. Also on Sunday, the Ducks were handed their bowl game assignment, heading to the still half-finished, despite being 4-year-old, Levi's Stadium in the formerly Foster Farm Chicken Bowl that is now the Red Sox Bowl, to take on the Spartans of the state of Michigan. Justin Herbert is also set to play in this bowl game as well, as Coach Mario Cristobal confirmed in his press conference yesterday. How do you rate this New Year's Eve bowl game for Oregon?
For Oregon? Oh, man. I tell you, Michigan State is boring. Just their participation in it drops 2 points. For Oregon to get to a bowl like this, the holiday bowl season, I think that would have been quite an achievement. Most would have agreed back on Labor Day. So I'm going to take the fact that it's a New Year's Eve bowl, take away 2 for Michigan State, 1 for that. I'm going to call it a 7.